Well, if you look at your bulletin, if you tend to follow it, you'll see that our speaker this morning is Dave Cullen. Well, Dave Cullen is in Dayton, Tennessee this morning. And our elders decided that rather than bringing Dave in via satellite to speak to us, that you would have a substitute. And I'm it. But when I was asked to speak this morning, it did occur to me that today is Father's Day. And we have quite a calling as fathers. I know that everyone here is not a father, but I do pray that we will be both encouraged and challenged, both the ladies and the men, both the fathers and those that are not. I know that as I studied these areas of Scripture that we're going to be looking at, I was indeed very challenged. If I had to assign a title to today's message, I think I would call it a well-balanced father. A well-balanced father. You know, there's nothing quite like being a father. I think as I look out in the congregation and I see several of you, you would agree with me, I think, that, you know, even whether among believers or unbelievers, even sometimes men where we see kind of maybe a harsher personality toward the world in many ways, you often see a soft spot, if you will, when they're with their children. Not always, but often. My message this morning is really geared to believers, but I would suggest that all of us that have been called to be fathers, all of us that have been given that honor and that privilege, we desire to be good fathers. Again, I hope that this is a message that is encouraging and challenging. As I was challenged, I was also encouraged by the thought, and I would start by acknowledging, and I think you would agree, that parenting is hard work. Parenting is hard work, and good parenting is a lot harder than poor parenting. You know, the best way to do something is not usually the easiest way, and parenting is certainly no exception to that. You know, as I meditated on this message and God's instruction to fathers in particular, which is quite extensive in Scripture, it really occurred to me afresh that really at the core of what our boys and girls are to be learning as they're growing up, obviously they're learning about God, they're building a relationship with Him, but they're really learning to be parents. They're learning to be parents. If they're learning properly, they're learning what it is that they need to know in order to carry out the proper role of a father or mother. They need to know whether or not God actually calls them to parenthood. They need the wisdom, they need the knowledge, they need the skills to be able to properly teach the children of the next generation. And they need to be able to teach the next generation the truth. And we know, and it is said in the Word of God, that God is truth. The Lord Jesus Christ is truth. We heard that read this morning in the Lord's Supper, the way, the truth, and the life, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, let's consider for a moment what a father needs to be. He needs to be properly grounded, and he needs to be properly balanced. If you were here a few weeks ago, our brother Michael Finney, in his message, reminded us of some of these qualities that fathers need and that mothers need, and including many of the same qualities that both parents need. And we could spend more time on this list this morning. We're not going to. But I think we would all agree that fathers need to be able to show love, need to be able to provide instruction, to enforce discipline, to provide for the physical needs of his family, and we could go on and on. But what I want to focus on in that regard is that the father needs to strive to show proper balance. Because, as I said, we serve a God who is perfectly balanced. Our Heavenly Father is exactly the proper balance, exactly the right balance of all that is good and is right and is perfect. You know, the problem oftentimes we see in churches is that God can be delivered sometime with a skewed picture if we focus too much on one dimension of His character without giving proper focus to another. But the Word of God says that that we are to be holy as He is holy. And we are to strive for that. We don't want to demonstrate to our children a skewed picture of what God is. And so it is part of what we are called to be as fathers that we would be properly balanced in what we do. We're going to open the Word of God here as we look at some different scriptures. We're going to look at some different passages, different scriptures that speak to fathers in particular. But I would again encourage you that these are qualities that are valid regardless who you are, male or female, whether you're a father or not. But it is specifically instruction that is pointed out to the fathers in God's Word. Before we continue with Scripture, I'd just like to go to the Lord for a word in prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank You that we have the perfect example of what a father is to be. As we look towards You and as we get to know You better through Scripture, Father, we know that You are indeed the perfect Father. You are Father to the fatherless. And Father, we just pray that as we would strive to be the fathers that You have called us to be, that we would be more like You, and that we would recognize the importance of Your instruction to us and trying to achieve that proper balance of what a father is to be. So as we continue in our Word this morning, I just pray that You would guard me from error, that You would help clarify the message before us, and that all that is said would be glorifying to You. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like for you to turn, if you will. The first passage we're going to look at is in chapter 1 of the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua. You know, fathers are called to be leaders. We need leaders, folks. We need leaders in our society, and we need fathers. And we need fathers who will be the leaders in their own homes, spiritual leaders in their homes. And as I was thinking about leadership and a leader, Joshua is certainly one that comes to mind as someone who God called to be a leader. He is an example of a leader. And I just wanted to look at the first verse in verse 9 of Joshua chapter 1. This was one I wanted to lead off with as we look at God's calling to fathers. And this is what the Lord said to Joshua in verse 9, chapter 1. He says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And fathers and others, I would just encourage each of us this morning that God is with us wherever we go and whatever we do. You know, as I was preparing for the message and even coming over this morning, I was talking with Susan, and I was remembering that day almost 18 years ago when we brought my son home from the hospital for the first time. And just, and of course, as always, the woman remembers more of the details than the man. But the thing that I remember in particular was that, you know, we've got this little baby and we're bringing him home. And my wife is very sick, throwing up in the car, not feeling well. And I'm just reminded of the heavy responsibility, I guess, that I felt on my shoulders bringing home this little boy for the first time. And as often is said, you know, they don't, you hear the saying, well, they don't come with an instruction manual. So what do we do now? A lot of people out there, unfortunately, have taken upon themselves to write instruction manuals. But I think I would just start out by suggesting that God has given us an instruction manual, and it's the Word of God. There is so much in the Bible that speaks to parenting and that speaks to fathers. And I would suggest that it is important that we would use the instruction manual of the one that actually made our child. Now, can you imagine when you go out and you buy your new TV or your new oven or whatever? Now, I know for some people that, you know, the first thing you do when you open the box is you throw away the instruction manual. I mean, you know, but they do become helpful at times. You know, when things go wrong, it is kind of nice to have a manual there. At least maybe it can tell you who to call to get help. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, when my TV broke down recently, it probably wouldn't have been too helpful if I pulled out the manual for the lawnmower. You know, the point of the matter is the instruction manual that actually came from the person that made that TV was probably what I needed. And I would suggest to you that God indeed has given us an instruction manual. Now, it's not always written in every detail for every situation, but I would submit to you that if we will follow the instructions by the Word of God, that it's going to be extremely, extremely helpful for us if we want to indeed be good parents and good fathers and raise our children the way that God would have us to do so. I want you to skip over now to the 24th chapter of Joshua. We're going from one end of the book to the other. And we're not going to spend a lot of time on any of these verses or any of the passages, but I do want to cover several that I think give us some help and guidelines. But we have this one Joshua here who, at the outset of his ministry, God gave some assurance and he gave some encouragement, if you will, to be strong, to be of good courage, to be not afraid, that God will be with him wherever he goes. And I would submit that parenting is a great responsibility. And even 18 years into the program now, I can tell you that sometimes it seems like more difficult now than it was on day one. And I think most of you here would probably agree that it can be challenging. It can be overwhelming. We can go to God in prayer, and sometimes if you're like me anyway, you can feel like an utter failure. God, what have I done wrong? But if we will go to God and let Him fight the battle for us and let Him help us and give us help, that even in those times of need, whenever we feel totally inadequate to the job, when we've been given major responsibility for another life, if you will, that God says that I'm in control and I will give you help and I will be with you wherever you go. Well, here we see the proclamation from this same Joshua. And these are very familiar verses. We're going to lead in with verse 14. Most of you, I think, probably know verse 15. But in Joshua 24, 14 and 15, we read this. It says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And fathers, I would suggest to you that Joshua is a great leader that we need to follow in this respect. You know, as I said, the father is to be the spiritual leader of the home. And we fathers need to see to it that God is honored in His proper place in our family. We need to see to it that we serve the Lord. You know, the good leader leads by example. We don't say to our children, "Do as I say and not as I do." And so the good father does not send his children to the assembly. The good father takes his children with him to the assembly. And we see here that the good father does not hide his faith from the public, but he follows this example of Joshua and boldly proclaims the faith of his household. This is Joshua standing before the people, and he's saying, "You choose for yourselves whom you will serve." You know, everybody's going to serve somebody. That old Bob Dylan song, everybody's going to serve somebody. You're going to serve yourself. You're going to serve Satan. You're going to serve the world. Everybody's going to serve somebody. And he says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And fathers, I would suggest that it's important for us to decide who we're going to serve and model that for our children and say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We need to set the tone. We need to make sure that God is at the center of our family life. We need to make sure that whatever trials and tribulations we face, we need to make sure that in every situation that we make sure that we model the example that God is at the center of our home and that He is the leader of our home. And basically, we are His under-shepherd. Okay, we are His representative to be the leader in our home. But we are to model our Heavenly Father who is in heaven. And we are to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, the representation of the Father. I want for you to turn, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 5. You see, we're going to move around to several scriptures this morning. This is one that doesn't speak especially to fathers, but it speaks to husbands. And I would suggest to you that if we follow the plan of the Word of God, that before we become a father, we become a husband. And Ephesians 5, verse 25 says this, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her." One of the greatest things, men, that we can do for our families and for our children is to love their mothers. You know, fathers are to be leaders, and we're to be lovers. Love is a commitment. And we find that our children will find love and security when they see that their parents love each other. And God makes it very clear here in His command to husbands that we are to love our wives as Christ gave Himself for the church, as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. And notice here that it means putting the needs of another before your own. You know, a good father is not selfish. He does not put his own needs first. He loves his wife. He studies his wife in order to understand what she needs. And notice I say what she needs, not always what she wants. That's difficult. That's difficult to understand sometimes. But a good husband will see the needs of his wife, and he will sacrifice as necessary to take care of those needs. And then when the children come along, he will instinctively do the same for them. And the children will find their security in that family situation. A family should be a sanctuary, if you will. Now, too often today we see that, quite honestly, we live in a society where the family is often broken. You look at individual homes or you look at our society as a rule, and we're sorry to say that in today's world, 40% of the children in our country that are born today are born out of wedlock. They're not born into an intact home. But fathers, the greatest thing that we can do to establish security in our home is to be committed to our family and to be committed to our wives. Again, not catering to every want, but seeking to meet every need. You know, one need that every child has is proper discipline. Discipline is one of the most important jobs, but one of the most difficult jobs of parenting. I think most of you would agree with that. It is not easy. You know, I can remember when I was growing up, sometimes when I was disciplined, and my father might say, you know, "Son, this is hurting me more than it's hurting you." And now it's kind of hard to understand at the time. It's like, okay, now he's at the other end of the belt, and I'm receiving it. But as a father, I think most of us can understand that when we discipline our children, particularly physical, corporal discipline in that way, we can truly say oftentimes that it really hurts us more than it hurts them. You know, it's not fun, it's not easy, it will not be popular, and it usually will not be appreciated at the time. Most of us, when we discipline our children, the first words back out of their mouths is not usually, "Thank you so much for disciplining me. I know that I needed that." And I think we can all relate to that, and all of us were children at one time as well. But you know, the Word of God is very clear in many places. Fathers are commanded to discipline their children. We see it throughout Proverbs. I'll read a couple of verses here. You need not turn there, but in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, it says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights." You know, it is just understood that the father who loves his child will discipline him. That's just understood in that verse. It's talking about the chastening of the Lord. But just as a father, the son in whom he delights. If we delight in our children, if we love in our children and we want the best for them, we recognize that we can't just turn them loose. We can't just turn them loose to do what it is that they want to do. As easy as that would be, sometimes it is so much easier to just let them go and do what they want to do, but we're commanded to discipline our children. I will have you turn to Hebrews chapter 12. There's a little bit longer passage here that has to do with discipline and chastening, and just want to comment briefly on that. But if you look at Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll break in at verse 5, it says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us, it seems best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Now, we could probably preach a few sermons out of that passage, but I just wanted you to see there that just as whom the Lord loves, he chastens, we as fathers are to do the same. If we love our children, we will chasten them. We will rebuke them when necessary. We will discipline them when necessary. We will scourge them when necessary. And it says here that that they are to show us respect, proper respect, just as we are to respect God as he chastens us. Again, it's really almost taken for granted that fathers are going to correct us. We see here in verse 9, it doesn't really say anything rather than we have had human fathers who corrected us. So that's just kind of one of those things that's taken for granted. It's taken for granted there that human fathers will correct us. They will discipline us. That is God's way. And as I said earlier, it's not joyful. It says it's not joyful for the present. It's painful. Nobody enjoys it. I don't know too many, sadistic people that really enjoy inflicting pain on someone else, and so especially not our children. But I think we would agree that if we're going to be obedient to the Word of God, that is what we're called to do. We are called to discipline our children and to discipline out of love and with love. And as I have alluded to, this includes the rod of correction. I know this is something that has become very controversial in the last 50 years or so with the onset of Dr. Spock and, all the introduction of, no, you don't spank, you do time out and all this stuff. But I would just remind you of a few verses that are very clear from the wisdom book of Proverbs. Proverbs 13:24, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. Proverbs 23:13, do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. Verse 14, you shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. It's pretty strong. Okay, we're not talking about child abuse here. You understand that. We talk about beatings these days. Sometimes people get all upset, but we understand we're talking about reasonable discipline in the way that it's to be applied. And then in Proverbs 29:15, the rod and rebuke give wisdom. There are times when we are called upon to rebuke our children, that we're called upon to discipline them in such a way that when they're going in this direction, we literally just about need to pick them up, turn them around, and take them the other way. And so we see that a father is to be a teacher. A father is to give training, to give instruction. We are told in Proverbs 22:6 that we are to train up a child in the way he should go. And we are to train that child. Ephesians 6:4 says that you fathers do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. We are to bring up our children in the training and the admonition of the Lord. That doesn't come easy. But that means that we need to be training them at home. It means we need to be bringing them to the assembly. We need to be encouraging them to read the Word of God. We need to read it with them. We need to pray with them. We need to have devotions with them. We need to do everything that we can to bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Oftentimes we get really highly concerned with academics. And I'm not here to say anything bad about, I appreciate good grades just as much as the next father. And I encourage my children in their studies, and I hope that they will go on and and be prepared for whatever vocation it is that God calls them to do. But I would submit to you that their spiritual training is more important than their vocational training. That vocational training, that's going to be for a season. But that spiritual training is going to be for an eternity. I would much rather be able to say at the end of the day that my children were saved, that they knew the Lord Jesus Christ, that they went on to do for Him, than to be able to say that they graduated from a 4.0, got the Moorhead Scholarship to Carolina, or a full ride at Duke or whatever. All those things are great. But in the end, those are things that are going to burn. Those are things that are not going to mean a hill of beans the second after you take your first breath. So I would encourage us we need to teach our children in academics. We need to encourage them to go on and be the best that they can be and to do what they do as for the Lord, as the Bible says, whether they're called to be a dentist or an engineer or sweep floors or whatever it is, do it as unto the Lord. But at the same time, let's certainly not neglect their spiritual training, and let's recognize that that is the most important. That is the most important when we are giving them instruction and training. And I would just look to that first part of the verse 2, where it talks about not provoking our children to wrath. The NIV says, do not exasperate your children. And sometimes I would suggest that that's a proper balance too, and I meditate on that a lot, because sometimes when we discipline as we're called to, they're going to seem to be exasperated. And they're going to not, as I said before, probably thank us and enjoy that time. It's not always a wonderful time. But I would suggest that we should not go out of our way to simply exasperate them. We need to try to train them in such a way that is honoring to the Lord. And again, as I said to begin with, we need to have proper balance in the way we do that. We are not to provoke our children, as it says in Colossians 3:21, lest they become discouraged. We are to be fathers. We are to be encouragers. We are to encourage our wives. We are to encourage our children. And folks, that starts with us. And I say this as one that is often convicted. But we are, as I said earlier, we're to set the tone. If you're going to be the leader in your household, don't expect your wife to have to be the one to set the tone. Certainly don't expect the children to set the tone. If you remember, I know early on when our children were young, we did the little program, Growing Kids God's Way. And people had different things to say about that, and some of it in some people's minds maybe it was a bit controversial or whatever. But I do remember one thing from that is that children that think that they are expected to set the tone in the household, that think that the relationship between mom and dad depends on them, that's a lot of pressure for a child. And I think we need to be very careful not to put that pressure on our children and not to discourage them. They need encouragement. It's a tough world out there. I think we would agree with that. It always has been. But there are a lot of challenges that our children deal with today that even you and I didn't grow, when we were growing up, probably didn't have to deal with. Just the 24/7, 365 media blitz that, when we were growing up, or at least when I was growing up, I know we got different age people here, but yes, we did have TV in those days. But just a few little channels on TV, and I can remember that there was a certain time of night when, the screen pretty much goes blank, you hear the national anthem, and for the rest of the night, it's just a bunch of snow on the screen. But what I'm trying to say is that I think that our children today are bombarded with more social media, instantaneous media, things that would not have been allowed, quite honestly, to have been on television, particularly prime time, that they are there today. They are there today. And we have to deal with those things. But I would just remind us that we need to encourage our children. It could be a very discouraging world. And we do need to set the tone. Part of the way that we encourage our children is that we need to exhort and we need to comfort. And I would just read this short passage from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians 2, beginning with verse 10, says that you are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. So here is Paul the Apostle encouraging the church at Thessalonica. And he's saying that, you know, when we were there, we behaved ourselves in a certain way. We exhorted you. We comforted you. We charged you. But then he made the comparison as a father does to his children. So that tells me that as a father to our children, we need to be exhorting our children. We need to be comforting to them. We think oftentimes as maybe the mother being a little bit more the tender one, the comforter, or whatever. But there are times when dad needs to be a comforter as well. And we need to be comforting to our children. We need to exhort our children. And we need to not just talk the talk, but we need to walk the walk. And that's what Paul says here. He says, this is we behaved ourselves in a certain way. And I can tell you, and you can agree with me, that when we are being told one thing and we are witnessing something else, that makes an impression on us. You know, if we're going to respect the one in authority over us, if we're going to really listen to our dad and want to follow in his footsteps, we're going to want someone who's not just talking the talk, but is walking the walk. And yes, we have a sinful nature we deal with. We stumble. There are times, quite honestly, that I have to apologize to my children. I have to apologize to my wife because I stumble and I don't give the kind of example that I would desire to do. And there are times when we just have to apologize for that and ask for forgiveness and go on. But we need to endeavor that we are going to behave in such a way that they can respect and that they would want to follow that example. A leader leads by example. A good leader will lead by example. And that's what we're called to do. We are called to teach our children. And we are called to teach our children biblical wisdom. Biblical wisdom. You know, as I said before, it's just great to impart knowledge. And I think there's a lot of good things that dads can do as far as academic training or, you know, teaching them how to change the oil or work on the car or a lot of these mechanical things that a lot of you men are a whole lot better at than I am. But there are certain skills that we can impart to our children. There are certain things that we can teach them to do. But there's nothing that we can do better than to teach them biblical wisdom, to apply that knowledge in a biblical way. And we see that in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And this is another familiar passage. I'm just going to read a few selected verses. But I think these are words that will be familiar to you. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning with verse 1, says, "Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you. You and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged." Skip to verse 5. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." In other words, all the time. It doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter whether it's Sunday morning or Saturday evening. It doesn't matter whether you're at the assembly or whether you're at home. You know, the thing of it is sometimes, too, you just never know who's watching and when they're watching. But we always know that God is watching. And I would encourage you to walk worthy regardless where you are and what situation you are in. Recognizing that, for one thing, you are providing an example for your children. You know, the Bible speaks about the value of a good name. That's one thing that we can all pass on to our children is a good name. You know, it may not be that their inheritance is a tremendous amount of money or all the beads and whistles or whatever, but we can pass along a good name. Now, you all know, as I do, a good reputation is important. A reputation, though, is what other people think of you. Your character is what you actually are. And I would encourage us that we are to be men of good character. If we have good character, chances are we will have good reputation. But we need to be even more concerned about our character than we are about our reputation. It's not just what people think of us, but it's about what we are. And the thing of it is, you know, nobody knows us better, other than God Himself, than our families, right? I mean, they kind of see us for who we are. We live together. We're in close proximity. As the Bible speaks of, sometimes proximity can breed contempt. Sometimes we have the hardest time getting along with the ones that we're closest to because we live together, right? We get in each other's way. We offend one another. But the bottom line is that we need to endeavor to be good examples to our children and to guard our character. We've been told here before that character is something that takes a lifetime to build, but we can lose it in 5 minutes. And we've seen that happen so many times to people in high places of fame and fortune or whatever, where they had a good reputation, they had a good character, and because of a really, really bad choice they made. Now, God will forgive and all that, but they are changed oftentimes for life because they made a really, really poor decision and they exchanged character for pleasure, if you will, or for something that they really made a bad choice for. We are, in our instruction to our children, we are to stress proper doctrine and godly wisdom, as we've said. Another proverb here from Proverbs in chapter 4. It says at the beginning, verse 1, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live.' Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, do not forsake wisdom, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and in all your getting, get understanding." So we are told that we are to teach our children wisdom. We are to teach them how to properly apply the knowledge that they have in a godly way, in a way that's honoring to God. And then there's another proverb that speaks to that, and it says in Proverbs 23:24, "The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him." We want to beget wise children. We want for them to have wisdom in the sight of the Lord. Now, I know it can be difficult sometimes because in the plan of God, we all know that there are times when godly parents, for whatever reason or another, beget children that seem to turn away from the Lord. And on the other end of the spectrum, we see some of the godliest young people or people that grow up to be godly people that had parents that didn't love the Lord. And God has decided in His divine plan that each and every one of us is going to be accountable for our own soul. And we can't save our children, okay, as much as we would like to. We can't save our children. They have to make that decision. We can provide training. We can provide instruction. But at the end of the day, God has ordained that everyone is going to be accountable for himself. But on the other end of the spectrum, we can be happy about the fact that even if we can look back in our childhood, and there are people that have parents that didn't do a very good job, that were not believers, that did not take them to the assembly, that did not teach them the Bible, that did not do this or that. But what we see here is that we can't just blame them and say, well, it's all their fault. You know, so there are two sides to the same coin here. We see that people have the opportunity to become godly, to become Christians, even if their parents do the right thing. So I think that's important as well. Just a couple of things. I know we're running low on time, but one of the things that I would say is important to us is that we need to lead our lives with integrity, with character, and as I said, we need to lead by example. We spoke about the good name, and a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. You know, fathers, we have a great responsibility, we feel, to provide for our families. We want to do that well, but we also need to understand that that material things are not the most important thing. You know, it's not the silver and gold that's the most important thing, but it's much more important to give them a good name. And the good name that we can give them, in our case, our Heavenly Father has given us a good name when we take the name of Christian. We take His name. And we want, when our children take our name, we want for them to have a name that they can be proud of. We need to be compassionate. Fathers need to be compassionate on their children. Psalm 103:13 says, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him." So again, if we're going to show the character of God to our children, we need to show them compassion. We need to be compassionate. There's also, I would just point out that word fear. You know, we have a healthy fear and a healthy reverence for the Lord, a healthy respect. And we are to, as fathers, we are to act accordingly. We want for our children, it is best when the children have a healthy fear of their dads. And I guess I would just say this in a way that, you know, we've kind of grown up in a culture, I think, where oftentimes we want to be their pals. We want to be their friends. We have to understand, fathers, that we're not their peers. We want to love them. We want to have a good time with them. We want to be able to play with them and all that. But at the end of the day, they also need to be able to look up to us as their father and recognize that we are not their peer. God has given us a very special role in their lives that has to do with leadership and training and instruction. And so I think we just have to be careful. Too often times, you know, we see the dad that just wants to be popular, that just wants to play with the kids and maybe leave the instruction up to mom, or maybe there's no real instruction at all. We just need to be careful about that. And we need to understand that we need to carry out our roles in such a way that will enable them to respect us and show us this proper fear and reverence that we should indeed have for our fathers. And if we're not doing that, then we're really not showing them an adequate picture of what their Heavenly Father is. You know, it's just like God is our friend. We are friends of God, but at the same time, He is God. You know, and oftentimes I think that might be lost a little bit in the contemporary church today, where all the focus is on, you know, God's love and He's your friend, and, you know, just He loves you and you need to love Him back, and, you know, all that good touchy-feely stuff and everything, and that's fine. But we need to understand that He is a God that demands our fear and our respect and our reverence. And if we are to embody that before our children, we need to demand that they respect us and that they do show us a healthy and proper fear. Just the last couple of things here, and then we're going to finish up, and I apologize for going a little bit over. But I do want to remind us that our children are a heritage from the Lord. They are inheritance from the Lord. God has given us our children. They are a blessing from God. You know, we are just good stewards. They don't belong to us. They belong to God. He has given us our children to be good stewards on His behalf. And He has given us the responsibility to raise them. But ultimately, they belong to God. You all know, or many of you know, I'm sure, the familiar Psalm 127, that unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. You know, if we're not building our household, as it were, under God's favor and under His leadership, then we're really going to labor in vain. We can try to carry out all these things, but we need to recognize that if we're not doing it by the power of the Holy Spirit, if we're not letting God lead us, then that's not going to happen. We need to understand again that our children are a heritage from the Lord. And that same Psalm 127, it says that children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. It is a reward that God has given us. It is a tremendous responsibility. It is a tremendous honor to be a father. And we need to walk worthy of that honor. Let's close in prayer. Our Father and our God, we do thank you as we consider your word and the instruction that you have for us. And Father, we recognize that you've not called every man to be a father, but you have called everyone to be conformed to the image of your Son. And Father, we just pray that as parents, as fathers, as mothers, as grandparents, even as those in the assembly that have the opportunity to influence other people's children here that are not necessarily our own, Father, we are called to walk worthy and to model by example what it is that you would call a good parent to do. So, Father, we just pray today that you would encourage the fathers on this Father's Day, that you would have us leave here challenged, but yet encouraged, and reminder that you are always with us. You never give us more than we can handle if we'll just be dependent on you and we'll yield to the Holy Spirit. And we pray that you would help us to do that in Christ's name. Amen.